November 13th, Recovery Review Plan Committee meeting, 3 o'clock p.m. For the record, Recovery Review.
Recovery Plan.
Say it for the record.
Recovery Plan Review Committee.
Thank you.
Okay. It's now 3 o'clock. We will call to order the Recovery Plan Review Committee meeting. In attendance is Commissioner Smith, myself, Commissioner Richardson, Executive Director Ben Stevenson, and Ms. Valerie
Brown
and Carlos
Pizarro,
present from the Housing Authority. First on the agenda will be the approval of the minutes of the previous meeting. Has everybody had a chance to read them? I believe, to my knowledge, they seem to be fairly accurate. They are. I receive a motion. If not, we don't. Do we need a motion?
It just looks like there's an extra word in there that the being needs to come out of there.
Where are you?
In the first paragraph, in the last sentence, this action brings the balance over.
Oh, okay.
The word being should be struck.
Yeah, thank you. We'll make that correction.
Any other changes or corrections required? Okay, hearing none.
Take out the word with as well.
What's that again?
The word with out of public housing.
With after public housing. Okay. Any other corrections? Hearing none. Do I have a motion?
Move.
Anybody second?
That would be you.
So I'll second it. No questions, and the minutes will be stand approved with the necessary corrections. We will follow the agenda as submitted. We'll go into old business, and we have the update of the recovery plan.
Yes. Basically, we made the revisions recommended by the board. Because, as you know, from the last meeting, we got approved the submittal presentation to the board with some recommended corrections. And staff had inadvertently not made the corrections presented to the board, but we did make those corrections after the board meeting and found them being sent to HUD. And so it did go to HUD. And other than just a preliminary question, I've not heard anything from them. And when I was speaking with Karen Cato Turner, you know, a HUD consultant, and she was saying that they're not necessarily required to review. formally approve the recovery plan, and they're saying that they may not necessarily give us a letter saying that this recovery plan is approved, but that, you know, they're still going to review it and, you know, hold us to it, but they're not necessarily issue us an approval letter, a formal approval letter. But we still got to go through the process and comply with what's in the plan and the like, and so far we've been doing that.
And
part of that was, like I said, the getting the disposition application for the Auburn Manor property. We had to start that process by October 20th per the purchase agreement we signed with the potential buyer. And so we started the process on that day. It's an online thing. And there were some technical difficulties because, like, for one, since Auburn Manor was never officially added to the HUD system.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't in the PIC system when I went to load up the application. And so what we did was to, I think it was Colton Meadows. We had to submit that back to be a part of Colton Meadows, but they are separated out once they do the actual approval. And
so we submitted it as part of Colton Manor?
Meadows.
Meadows,
yeah, because that was the most recent project that was in the PIG system.
Okay.
And I think it's
well, even though, it's just called Colton because back 50 years ago, that's how they call all the properties in PIG. But in reality, it's AMP1.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. AMP1 is going to
be. And that was AMP1 included everything.
Right.
So,
right.
Okay. I got it now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so at this time, they're currently reviewing the application. We got a couple of questions from Miami College. They have to review the environmental. And we got them everything that they need. And then they had a couple of questions from the SAC office. And so we should get that stuff, have it prepared, just need. But one thing they asked for was a letter from the mayor saying he agreed to the sale of the property. And so we should have that letter to be out tomorrow, and then they'll have everything that they need.
Okay. To your knowledge, Mayor Weeks doesn't have any problem.
No.
We'll get the letter. Okay.
That makes no sense at all. But
I know.
I submitted, where the mayor had to sign a certification where we do the agency plan.
Yeah.
The city had to submit a certification that this is consistent with the city's plan and all of that. And then, I'm like, this is vacant land. There's never been any units on it, anything like that.
Yeah.
So, that's basically where we are with that. And then with the 10th Street commercial property, we found that property had already been approved for disposition back in 2001. And since disposition does not expire, however, we have to let the field office know that we're planning to sell the property. And when they were here, we showed them the letter, but they said that he wanted an appraisal. And that appraisal came in, I think, like Monday. Mm-hmm. And so now we've done the letter. And actually, the land appraised like $1.8 million.
Is that right?
Yeah, the 10th Street, which is shocking. But as you all know, the offer back for $1.3 million. And the previous offer was $1.6 million, and then all prior to that, like $500,000. And it's been out there for like at least 4 years for sale. So basically, I just told her that we feel this is the best offer that we could possibly get for it. And since the land has been vacant, all the sale proceeds will be profit, and they'll be used to build additional affordable housing units at another location.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully.
So even though it appraised at 1.8, the 1.2 is still a good viable offer because of the fact that it's been vacant for so long and we haven't had that many bites on it, right?
Right. Well, the fact that we made it available to the general public,
right,
which included local organizations, anyone who was interested in it for an extended period of time.
Right, okay.
So that's what they want you to do is give everybody an opportunity to bid on it.
Right.
Which we've done.
It's been on the market a long time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So if HUD pushes back at us, we can just show that.
And we've owned that property for years and years and
years,
as part of Washington Park.
Yeah.
1978?
38.
Oh, 38.
Yeah.
When that housing act was first implemented by FDR, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. All right. All right. Yeah. When did we actually submit the letter, submit the recovery plan? So we should have that identified. What was the approximate date that went in?
What was it, 22nd, 23rd?
Of October.
Yeah, I thought that board meeting was the
20th. The meeting was on the 3rd, 20th, right?
Yeah,
right.
21st, yeah. It was like
so it was somewhere right out, okay.
Just
in
the 23rd.
I just think for the record, we need to show that.
Yeah, 23rd.
It went in right on, right behind that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anything else that we need to know about old business?
No, that's it on that.
Okay. LHA procurement policy, what's
the concept? Yeah, with that, this is going to be presented to the full board. I just want you all to see the resolution where you can see the language. And basically, what I want to do is as you're saying, with the recovery, as we're going through, should we have to do some additional cuts or whatever? Mm-hmm. And should we need to, like, say, hire staff, like, say, as a consultant, something like that? HUD provides enough leeway within their procurement process that allowed to do that. And LHA had a language that prohibited that. And the point I'm making is that there's enough flexibility within the HUD, process where you don't have to do anything unethical or whatever. And you can still do things that you need to do. And I just wanted to make our policy consistent with the HUD policy in that particular area. Should we need to do this, at some point in the future? And that's all it is. And, entertain questions.
So this would permit you then somebody who has been separated from service to hire them as a consultant
some type of public procurement process.
But you have to go through the process anyway.
Yeah.
But they would be eligible.
Exactly.
Whereas right now they're not eligible.
Exactly.
So yeah. So because of the situation we're in, we're losing good talent that
exactly.
can still might be available for us to draw on if we need it.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, is this the language of the HUD?
Yes, the first paragraph.
The first paragraph is what HUD.
And as you can see, in non-construction contracts without maintenance greater than $100,000 for maintenance contract greater than $2,000. So basically, the contract would be less than $100,000 per year, okay? And that's not done. But basically, LHA's policy said they don't care what it is, they can't do it for at least a year. And I'm just removing that restriction with LHA, that's all. And we'll still follow the HUD policy, which limits it to less than $100,000.
Okay. And what the change that we want to make is?
Just remove that language that has restriction, that's all. It's just one sentence there.
Okay, so we want to add into all of our agreement.
We're not going to add anything, we're just going to remove that item.
So you're removing that?
Where okay. The no officer, no member officer, that's
right.
coming out?
Uh-huh. Or the LHA policy. And then we're just going to follow the HUD policy, that's a part of the HUD policy. So.
Well, our LHA policy, I want to understand mm-hmm. it now. Currently restricts us.
Mm-hmm. Includes this paragraph.
No. Well, this paragraph applies because that comes from the HUD handbook.
Okay,
we got to follow that.
For simplicity, why don't we just say we're removing the out of the LHA procurement policy, whatever that language, and adopting what they have. If we're adopting theirs in its totality, why are we changing ours? Why don't we just eliminate in our procurement policy, take out whatever it is, item 1.4, and we will adopt HUD's policy. Same thing, right?
Yeah, but we have to follow HUD's anyway.
Yeah.
And I would be just a little, because the way it works is that housing authorities and states are allowed to make their policy more restrictive if they so desire.
Well, I guess my rationale is that rather than make a little, we're changing ours, we're just removing section 1.4 and we're adopting HUD's policy.
Okay, so you want to
I don't know. Did that make sense?
Well, I don't know. I'm still trying to.
I'm trying to figure it out. That's what I'm saying. The way it's presented, it gets a little confusing.
Okay.
I know what you're
saying. We're saying we're removing this paragraph,
right?
But we are including this. Last paragraph would be part of any.
No. This last paragraph here is removed. This shall be inserted in all contracts, and contractors shall be required to insert in all subcontracts the following provision. We're just going to take that out. We're already required to follow the HUD handbook, And I just, and I added the language from the HUD handbook to show you all why, you know, it'd be okay to remove this because we're covered under the HUD handbook. But if y'all want something, you know, inserted in there, well, we'll just say that LJ will continue to comply with the HUD handbook. And I'll put the specific name of the handbook in there.
What we're basically doing is taking out the one-year restriction. Is that what we're doing?
Exactly. That's it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Okay, so HUD has the one-year restriction in this.
No.
If this is HUD here.
Let me see.
Right?
If this first
paragraph that you show here in italics is what HUD's
policy
is, then we want to strike the 1 year.
Right.
That's what we want, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then we would not be. There's a hand up over here.
Now we won't be. We won't be adopting HUD's.
We're
modifying ours.
The bottom part down there says item 1.4. I agree with you. Just we want to delete there out of our policy.
You want to delete it out of.
We want to delete it out of our current policy. Item 1.4 is currently part of the LHJ policy. Mr. Stevens is recommending delete that. The other language above that, where it says in the larger type in the italics, that is part of what's called HUD Form 5370C. That form is attached to all of our contracts. So, as Mr. Stevens says, a PHA has the authority to be more restricted than HUD. What he's asking for is that we just follow HUD's policy and remove item 1.4 from our policy. And by default, because Form 5370C is in all of our contract, that will prevail.
But the 1 year is going to stay as a limitation.
Yeah. If you read it, it's not as restrictive as our policy. Our policy says she'll have any interest directly or indirectly. That's very restrictive. Whereas the HUD policy is not as restrictive as our policy.
But still a 1 year restriction.
But also, too, look, and that's for non-construction contracts without maintenance.
Okay, but would it be more easier to understand for the rest of the world?
Still, we're saying 1 year.
If two of us are here and we're confused,
right.
I can imagine when you get them all together. Would it be easy just to restate ours in its entirety?
Restate
our, what's going to be our procurement policy as we want to revise it.
Okay, because like...
we're only taking a piece of it, and I don't know what the rest of it says.
And I'll try to make it a little more clear that what's there above is what's currently on the form that's part of the contract, and it comes from the HUD handbook. And what we're doing is we're going to revise the LHJ policy.
Put the whole thing in there. Put the whole policy in there. This isn't the whole policy.
No, this is part of a form.
This is language from the LHJ policy. It's not from the form. This is from the LHJ policy here.
Okay.
The other part here, okay.
I don't know what the LA policy says. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe we need to.
You want to see the whole policy?
Yeah, if we're changing it. I got to see what the whole thing says and what are we changing? What are we taking out and what are we putting in?
I'm just taking that part. I wasn't going to put
it in. I know you want it, but the rest of the board, we don't know what it is.
No. What I said was I wasn't going to replace with anything, but so you're saying you wanted to be replaced with something for your movement?
Well, I just want to see the whole policy the way it exists and see what the difference is between the two.
Okay.
I think that's what the board's going to look for, and then they want to know, okay, now what do you want to take out? Or what do you want to add in?
So take that section of the existing policy, hit track changes, and then delete it shows.
So you see, you all are so familiar with the policy.
Let me get clear. Now, do you want the whole LHJ policy to be attached to the resolution?
That's what I
How many pages is it?
No, just the one covered that section.
Yeah, no,
just what I thought. I thought it's pretty comprehensive.
Just take this page.
Just the one that covering that section that you're talking about. Right. We don't need to see the whole thing, but
just this page.
And line through what we're taking out and underline what we're putting in.
Right, that's all. Okay.
Whatever.
That's all. Yeah.
And the form just to make sure that everything.
Yeah.
See, you all are at an advantage because you know what. Mm-hmm. So you use the policy all the time, so you know what you're talking about. But I don't know what you're talking about.
No. This is confusing.
I'm glad I brought it up in this meeting.
I'm glad you did too.
Yeah, I think if you just show us what I say. And what you want to change it to, according to
that. And I think you need to see the policy and the form so you can actually...
Part of it, one's a form and the other's a policy.
Yeah.
But we have to use the
And
we
in
have
reality,
to use
the form, even though there is not in the policy, but the form actually was issues later on, so over... how do you say that?
Supersedes the
policy.
So maybe for the meeting, so that we can walk through it without a lot of questions, is to present that section of the policy, mm-hmm. the policy the way it is, then show us the form and how you're changing the form. Now we can compare the two.
Yeah, because for what I'm seeing here, it says it's still requiring the 1 year. So we're not going to get away from that. It's just a matter of the degree of.
What it is,
their involvement,
the type of contract.
Right, that's what we're getting at. Right?
Because even the form there, it says a non-construction contract without maintenance greater than $100,000.
That's right.
That's where the 1 year restriction kicks in.
Yeah, and that's for construction, but now where?
That's
for the
non-construction contract.
Okay.
That makes sense. We're going to do a contract for, say, whether services or say for procurement or for Section 8.
Okay.
If it's greater than $100,000, there's a 1 year restriction on the federal government. I'm not trying to change that. Okay. But if it's less than $100,000, basically with HUD, there is no 1 year restriction. Okay. Does that make sense? Sounds good, consent.
And I can tell you some background on this policy. And basically, it was issued by HUD and many other agencies to stop mostly members of the board of becoming contractors.
Right.
So,
I can understand.
Because there is a restriction on different regarding commissioners becoming employees. Okay, and HUD's not going to waive that for anybody in any circumstances. I was asked to do that when I first came on as executive director.
So,
but this is dealing with employees who have expertise that you don't necessarily want to lose. Okay. And so they give you the flexibility to be able to hire them within reason. So you got, like they said, with this $100,000, that shows that you don't just give someone a $200,000 or $300,000 contract and say, hey, do this. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they have there's no restriction on that.
Okay, and just for us here in this committee, can you give me an example of who may be terminated that we would want to use their services and how would we use them?
Okay.
Are we talking about consulting or actually doing physical work?
It's a little of both. Okay, like the resident services. Okay, like the way, you know, like the regular resident service deposition was, you know, eliminated part of the
okay.
Okay, and there's still some resident services function in terms of community outreach, courted residents, and the like. Whereas if you give someone a contract to a particular firm, okay, if that employee, if they started their own company, they're part of a company that would do that, then they'll be eligible under the current HUD guidelines. But under the current LHA policy, they would not be eligible.
But yeah, that's why I think we got to see both together.
That's fine.
Both the form and the policy.
That's fine.
And then we can show.
Yeah, that's fine.
A lot easier.
Okay, that's fine.
I think that might make it a lot easier.
That's fine.
But
I'm still seeing those. It says, you know, while they're employed or for 1 year after that, they're still not eligible. So
for over $100.
Okay.
For under over $100. Because of contract less than $100,000, they are eligible.
Okay.
With the current LHA policy, it doesn't matter if the contract is for a dollar, they're not eligible.
Okay.
That's what we're moving from.
Okay. Okay.
So you're going to bring us in the HUD form 5370C?
Yes.
Is that the form we're talking about?
Yes.
So we need to see that form with the revised language.
No, that form, we won't revise that.
That's a HUD form. You can't revise it.
Okay, that's a HUD form. Okay, yeah. So
can't revise
our form is, our policy is going to conform with 5370.
Yeah, exactly.
You want, okay, and right now it's in conflict.
Right.
Okay.
It's just more restrictive.
Okay.
Yeah, it's more restrictive.
We might be better off just addressing what we're, forget about the 5370.
Okay.
And say, on our policy, this is what we're changing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
Yeah, that's
because
confusing.
People be looking at that like, just like I'm looking at that. That still says. How about that?
When we get into full meeting, they're not going to trust what we're saying.
Okay.
Four other commissioners that are going to challenge it.
Okay.
And if we can't explain it.
What I'll do, that's a good suggestion. I'll just say that we're going to amend the policy to remove this particular language, and then I'll explain why.
Yeah. Forget about 5370.
Because that just
that muddies the water.
That's what muddies. Okay, make it simple.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kiss it. That's right. Kiss it.
But I appreciate what you were trying to do. But
you were trying to give us
the
information we needed, but it's too complicated.
It is kind of complicated. So if we're in agreement with that, then that's what, when you present the resolution, that's really all you want to do.
Okay.
Yeah, and don't even mention Form 5370.
Okay.
Because we don't need to.
I don't think we need to.
Just put it in simple terms, like you said.
Okay.
You want to be able to utilize some of the talent that we may have to let go.
Mm-hmm.
That can still play a viable role.
But we're still going to go through the procurement process.
Oh, yeah.
They can't. They just can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't say, show up for work Monday.
Right. and we're going to be governed by HUD's policy.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. They would not be on the payroll. There would be a contract.
There'd be a contract, right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. I'm glad you showed us that, because that would have just...
Okay.
Yeah.
We had a two-hour meeting.
So that was a simple one. Now I got a complicated.
Oh, no. There's nothing else in our package. That's not on the agenda.
That was too easy. Okay, what do we got
here? Okay, this one here, it deals with spousal benefits. You know, the new law recognizing significant others and perhaps they say
same-sex marriage.
I just say significant others.
LGBT.
Yeah. And
Florida has a law.
Florida has a law,
government,
but this is federal though, and because you know we are
federal supersedes this.
Yeah, and basically what I'm recommending is that. We just follow the federal law for right now, you know, which has these set of minimum requirements. And the options we have are here between 1 and 2, okay? We recognize as a spouse who is legally married in another state or country.
Oh, okay.
But that particular type of marriage was not recognized as a marriage under Florida law. And then... LHA recognizes the above type of marriage for purpose of extending all 401 plan benefits to the spouse in the type of marriage are only that are required by federal law, but not Florida law, to provide the spouse of this type of marriage. And I'm just going to do number 2 and check only those benefits that are required by federal law.
You know,
And since it's a policy,
when we start getting in a debate between state and federal,
yeah,
we're on the slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
Because Florida is still taking a high line position on it, right?
Mm-hmm. 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 But what that means is that if you get married in New York and you come down to Florida, then you're husband and wife.
That's right.
But if you live in here, you're not benefiting from that.
Yeah.
So,
But my concern was that, you know, the federal, we receive the majority of our money from the federal government, so we are quasi federal entity.
What does HUD say?
What does HUD?
What does HUD say about this?
They want to comply with federal law.
If they sent something down in writing about that?
Oh, they don't put that on.
I know they don't. That's right. Put us in the middle, and we got to go to court if somebody sues us.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know. So
you know how it works, huh?
Yeah, I know exactly how it works. That's why I said it. You know, coming out of Massachusetts, and I know.
What does our HR attorney say?
That's what I was going to say. Did we pass this by?
That's what we need to do next, Mr. Stevenson. That's our next order. That's our next order of business, because I was late coming to this meeting because I was trying to pigeonhole MassMutual, trying to figure out if I could get a better understanding as to this legal mumbo jumbo that's not really saying anything. And so she wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
I know.
She wouldn't. I tried to back her into a corner. I came over at five different angles, and she wouldn't touch
it. You know.
And so that is probably what I need to do next week.
I would suggest to hold this off coming to the board before you get Rick's opinion.
Well, that's right. Or the Rick or the HR attorney.
Or HR or somebody's opinion.
Well, Rick, legal opinion.
Because, you know, this thing has been stuck in my craw for a long time because I testified at the federal level about DHMA, about the same-sex marriage, and they swore when I was testified, they said, oh, you don't have to worry, you know, we still got DHMA, you know, DHMA protects you. And then they come along and they wipe out DHMA.
And I think that's what's causing this.
It was in federal court, there was an overturn stating that if you are married in a different state and you go to a state that doesn't recognize marriage, you know, men and men, is still a marriage because their license is in a different state, so it's legal marriage.
But every state doesn't recognize it,
Even though I wasn't required to bring it to the board, you see why I brought it to the board.
Let's get a legal opinion.
And the other thing around that is that they get married in another state and come here and want to get divorced.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They wanted to recognize that too.
Yeah, then we sent them back. Go back to where you got married. Yeah. It's just a bag of worms. And
yeah.
I don't know whether, like I said, I don't know where we want to go down that road without getting a good legal opinion on it.
Yeah, and
like I said, and I'm sure Rick, we can check it out to see how all the housing authorities have handled this.
Because a lot of states are still in court over this issue. Mm.
Well, and not only that, for public housing Section 8, HUD just issued a regulation that same-sex, not marriage, but same-sex couples, now they qualify as a family for, you know, all the programs. They're taking that route anyway. So.
Yeah.
But that's for eligibility for programs. Yeah. That has nothing to do with employment.
Yeah, but you can see the change.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you staying on top of it. I think, Patrick, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Before we get hit with it, we better have an answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, very good. All right. Anything else?
Well, that's all I have.
Okay.
Nothing else over there. You go slip in.
Okay. All right. Well, there's no other business to come before us. I just want to personally thank the committee for adjusting the time for this meeting to meet my schedule, since I had a funeral which I had to attend, so I appreciate everybody extending that to me, that privilege to me, so thank you. If no further business, we'll stand adjourned at 3:35. Thank you. Okay.
One other thing that may come up during the board meeting.
Yeah. Oh, shout out to 3:40. This is unofficial. I'm off the record.
Meeting adjourned 3:35.